With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
On 1080, The Fan.
You know what's fun about that, that clip there you just heard of that wonderful female voice?
Yeah.
That's our GM.
Oh, is that...
I think that's Kim.
That's our fearless leader.
Yeah. So pleasant.
Yes.
Welcome back to our show. It's me, Rop, Big Zook right over there. Hope you guys are having a good day. Yeah,
enjoying this beautiful day.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Pacific Northwest. I really do. This and Denver are the only two places that I've lived that I've really, really have embraced and loved. But you get to this time of year, man, some of this is just a kick right in the cash and prizes.
So, dude.
You just wait. It's like, you know, it's like 4:30 and it's like this outside. You're just like, yeah, hell.
So coming up here, we're going to talk about the NFL playoffs. That'll be 5:15.
I haven't seen the Suh car in a while.
Well, they quit.
Oh, did they?
Well, they were on Vine. Wait, the Suh?
Yeah,
oh,
remember,
the car.
Yeah, there was a car in Vancouver that was a full-on Suh car.
It was
black with like green rims.
Yeah, people tweet it to us from time to time.
Yeah, I used to see it all the time, and now I haven't seen the Brosif car.
Well, you know, the Suh dude bros moved on. They were on Vine, and they've you know, Vine's no longer. So I don't know where to find them now. But anyway, NFL talk. 5:15, that's in about 10 minutes. Joe Harrington in studio, 5:30. We will discuss. I want to ask about Bill Musgrave, because I think Bill Musgrave was his quarterback's coach in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And Musgrave, he just got hired as the OC of Cal.
Yeah.
So a lot of hot OC talk. And then we'll get into LSU Clemson and maybe some NFL playoff talk with him. That'll be 5:30. And then we will talk about Neil Peart dying.
Boy, my biggest thing today is that it's Neil
Peart.
Peart.
We got some audio.
Is it, am I right?
It's from the movie I Love You, Man, by the way, which I actually don't know if I remember the scene from that movie, even though.
But he's in it.
Well, yeah, because Rush is a big deal. Like, that's, they play a huge role in that movie.
Yeah, and so it's Jason Segel and it's Paul Rudd.
Right.
And it's a joke about it. I'll play it for you here in a second. I'm just saving it.
I've been on this planet for 41 years, and I don't know when I realized who Rush was, but for however many years that has been, I have 100% believed that it was Neil Peart.
Well, most people do. But it is actually, you're going to get cred with the Rush Bros if you say it right, which is Neil Peart.
Do I say
the word ear,
yeah,
and then put a P in front of it and a T at the end of it.
Do I want credit with the Rush Bros?
It may not matter to you.
I mean, I've got nothing against Rush.
But in the interest of accuracy, he died today.
Okay. Well, for that, then yes.
I think we should, yeah, you know, he was greatness. Yeah. You know, you got to.
Well, some people think he was the greatest rock drummer of all time.
Right. So we'll get to that in the club.
Wait, is there a drummer that isn't a rock drummer?
I'm sorry, what?
Well, I said he's the greatest rock drummer of all time, and then I thought about it. Is there like who's the greatest non-rock drummer?
Kenny G.
It's like, isn't all drums kind of rock and roll? Is there someone that's like in a folk band somewhere that's, he's the greatest folk drummer of all time?
Maybe.
You don't really hear about many drummers other than, well, rock drummers.
Okay, play the clip. This is from I Love You, Man. Okay.
Sydney, I told you not to eat Mr. Peart's sandwich.
It's just Peart.
You sure that it's not Peart?
I think he would know.
Are you sure? Because we're pretty big fans.
Chill, man. Chill, man. Look, guys, it's been a long night.
Oh, tote.
Are you sure that it's not Pert? I don't remember that scene either.
I don't either. That I think
maybe
that's
it's a, like a missing scene.
I think
scene
that's a deleted scene. I don't think that's because I've seen that movie a handful of
me
times.
Me too. I was like, I don't remember
that. I don't remember that.
It's Neil Peart.
Okay.
And rest in peace.
I feel bad that it took him dying for me to learn that.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Soda.
What are
you? Tilt it down.
He's nuts.
Number five.
All right, we'll start with a little NBA, and that is that the Lakers have extended the contract of Rob Pelinka and made him their VP of basketball ops and GM.
Oh, what was he before?
I think just GM.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes
they promoted him to VP.
Sometimes these titles are...
Yeah.
Does anything really change? Does he have any other?
Well, I think that's been a power.
Authority or power?
Yes. I think in LA that was a power struggle and Magic Johnson lost and Pelinka won.
Yeah.
And well, Pelinka is being rewarded for it.
Magic's been gone. So is this just about like getting a new business card and you get like a new name on the door?
Well, I don't know if Rob Pelinka is good at his job, but I do know that Rob Pelinka is good at the politics game.
Sure. Well, he got LeBron. Well, I guess LeBron went there regardless, but got LeBron and AD.
So there's a little bit.
What?
Oh. There's a little bit of Lakers news.
What was that?
I think Mike just got an email.
No, I left the computer audio on.
Number four.
So Mike just got an email.
Okay. Small penis email.
What? Why would it be? What? Mookie Betts is back to the Red Sox via a record for an arbitration-eligible player. So these guys all avoid arbitration.
Yeah, everyone got the big deal, but his was far and away.
Yeah, 1 year, $27
million. Well, you know, there's a lot of talk that every one of these guys, that Lindor, that Bryant, that Betts, that any of these guys could be moved. But, I mean, if you're Boston, what is Mookie Betts asking for? Because... You know, if he's asking for $40 million, he can't do it. You got to move him. But I mean, he's certainly a lot better than Bryce Harper, and you saw what Harper got. Same thing with Machado.
Rank the baseball Mookies.
Well, clearly it's Mookie Wilson, number one.
No, Betts is better than Wilson.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Mookie yeah. Betts one, Mookie Wilson two.
Is there another rookie?
Chris Bryant also avoids arbitration.
Number three.
He goes back to the Cubs 1 year, $18.5 million, and then Trevor Bauer, the starting pitcher, back to the Reds, $17.5 million.
Lindor got $17.5 million too to stick around with the Indians. Let's
see here. Browns are down to two for their coaching vacancy. It appears to be between Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels and Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, McDaniels interviewed today for 7 or 8 hours. He's the eighth guy to interview for that job.
Yeah, so they like him, but they're also waiting for Stefanski with the bike. So, yeah, McDaniels, I guess he'd been at the Browns facility all day today. I think it's weird that he would take that job.
I know.
You know? Because he seemed to be so fickle about what job he would leave for.
Well, and I wonder if anything...
Backing out on Andrew Luck and the Colts, and now he's going to go to the effing Browns?
Well, I wonder if anything has changed, because he got a 4 or 5 year contract. Towards the end of it, it pays him $4 million a year in New England. He gets paid like a head coach, and it was a belief that he was the coach in waiting, but then there was all this talk about, remember Joe Judge was being groomed, and then he left and took a different job. I wonder if the writing's on the wall that it's not automatically his job. So you... It's not as if Cleveland is a bad roster.
Rank the sports Mookies and add Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie Wilson 1, Mookie Betts 2, Mookie Blaylock 3. Mookie Wilson was involved in Game 6, Rob. Game 6.
Mookie Betts 1, Mookie Blaylock 2, Mookie Wilson 3.
You go straight to hell. Did you see the World Series?
Injuries ahead of NFL playoff games. The Seahawks say offensive linemen Dwayne Brown and George Fant will both be game time decisions.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if they can't go, I just don't see it, Seattle with that run game and that offensive line getting by Green Bay.
On the defensive side, Quentin Jefferson looks to be a go. Jadeveon Clowney says he feels better this week than last week. The Vikings aren't sure receiver Adam Thielen's ankle is going to hold up against the Niners, but he is going to play. He had to have stitches. He got cleated in practice, so he's going to wear protective padding. And then the Niners are getting Quan Alexander and Dee Ford back. Also, Jaquaski Tartt and Mike Person, their guard, are returning, so they're getting healthy. And then one other injury note, the Texans say Will Fuller, their wide receiver on the other side of Hopkins, is the very definition of a game-time decision.
And that's a huge deal, because when Hopkins and Fuller are on the field together, that's a completely different offense. Also, Kenny Clark is going to be a game-time decision for Green Bay. That's a big deal because he plays such a big role in their run defense, and we know Seattle has to find a way to generate some sort of run game.
And the Washington Huskies have gone off the board for their new offensive coordinator. They have hired John Donovan from the Jaguars. Quick, who is John Donovan?
I have no idea, although I did read about him today, and I saw that Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix, he was the OC at Penn State at 1.2. He gives him it's like a C-minus rating overall, and is kind of like he gives it the two thumbs meh.
Yeah, it's weird. He was an assistant running backs coach in Jacksonville. Previously, he'd been a college OC at Vanderbilt and at Penn State. He's a pro-style guy, but when he was at Penn State, his offense ranked 100th.
Yeah.
And then Joe Moorhead came in the year after I don't know if Donovan left or they fired him. Moorhead came in, and he took him to 21st.
Yeah.
So coincidentally, according to footballscoop.com, Joe Moorhead is the odds-on favorite to be the next offensive coordinator at Oregon.
So this is one of those that...
It's a weird one.
It seems to be a bit of a head-scratcher, but I was reading today, and I guess he was one of the top three guys that Washington wanted all along. So
Jimmy Lake likes him.
Guess we'll just kind of wait around and see. But from a strictly analytical standpoint, this seems to be a bit of a reach for Washington.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Enter to win tickets to a Blazers home game and a $250 gift card to the team store wherever you buy your Coors Light. Coors Light! Made to chill. Coming up next, will the Titans pull off the upset? And then maybe get a little Seahawks-Packers talk in before Joey Harrington in studio. It is 5:16 on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington in studio in our next segment. In the club, we'll talk about Neil Peart dying.
Still sounds odd to me.
And I've got audio of David Lee Roth. You think this is good? Right here, Tom Sawyer. Wait till...
Oh, God!
Where do you hear what David Lee Roth's doing now?
And it is, oh, God.
Oh, God!
He believes it is the second half of his career beginning right now.
God, I think we're deep into the fourth quarter, my man, and I think you're losing by a lot.
So that'll be in the club, but just a couple of games. You know, we were talking about the NFL games earlier, and we didn't get touch much on the Titans-Ravens. And I know we gave our picks yesterday, and I think you took Baltimore, didn't you?
I did. I'm laying the big wood here.
Think much of Tennessee.
I don't. I don't think much of Tennessee. I don't think much of Houston, and I think Baltimore's elite. Harbaugh off a bye is ridiculous, and I just don't buy it.
You know,
the other one too is, I think there's something to seeing Baltimore a second time. I really do, this offense. And this is the only team in the AFC playoffs that Baltimore won't have faced. This will be their first chance to see it. And I think you can prepare by watching film, but, you know, and you can have a guy simulate it in practice. I think there's something to seeing this Baltimore run game, and especially Lamar Jackson in person. And I think by the time Tennessee looks up, I think it's going to be too late. Whereas I think if you've seen it, and we saw this last year, right? And I get this is a different offense. It's certainly evolved, and Lamar Jackson has gotten a lot better. But we saw the Chargers get ripped up, and then in the postseason, seeing them a second time, it looked a little bit different. I just think it's like facing a guy that throws 100+. I think the second and third time through the lineup, it's a lot easier, and Tennessee's not going to have that luxury.
They're not, but you know, whoever wins the Chiefs-Texans game, they both played Baltimore.
They've seen them.
And I think that's interesting because the Texans got walloped by them.
Yeah.
And
I think the Texans will get walloped by him anyways, because I don't think the Texans are very good.
But the Chiefs beat him.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's so hard to say anything negative about Baltimore.
There really isn't a lot to it.
Well, they've just been cruising, dude. Yep. I mean, the only game they haven't covered, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They've won 12 in a row. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost since September. And they're putting the screws to teams. You know, I mean, it's not even close. But the Niners came close to them.
Niners game, that was a great game.
That was the only game they didn't cover, but they won.
They won by 3, 2017, and that was close. And that was two heavyweights slugging it out.
The only thing I can say about them would be generically, one, is there something to a team this good having to take its lumps in the playoffs before getting over the hump? Like, it's just never this easy, right? Like, you look at this and go, God, they're just cruising and they're awesome. So nobody can see any way they lose, but yet these teams always lose. Like, yeah. It's the NFL playoffs, man. It's just, it's never as easy as you think it could be. And I think sometimes teams like this, they need to take their playoff lumps before they get over the hump. Now, you could argue they did last year because, remember, they were in the playoffs last year, and the Chargers were the ones that, remember, they threw all the DBs out there. And,
Chargers slapped them around.
And they beat them.
Well, and Ingram,
but they weren't near, Baltimore wasn't nearly as good last year as they are this year.
And Ingram's banged up. I mean, he's nowhere near 100%. He's going to play, but he's got a beat up calf. So, you know, that's something.
So that would be the only thing I could throw out there. It's like, you know, Ravens are great, but sometimes, you know, you got to learn how to get it done in the playoffs. Like, they haven't had much friction for let's go since the San Francisco game. That was a good game. So they haven't had friction for 8 weeks, seven weeks.
The only other thing, too, that scares me a little bit about Baltimore, and I've said this all along, Lamar Jackson is insane. He's going to be the MVP. I don't think it's as far flung in his direction as everyone thinks it is. I think Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes, especially Russell Wilson, should be in that consideration. But he'll be the MVP, and he deserves it. You're still talking about a guy that's not the biggest guy in the world that gets hit more than any other quarterback. And remember that you are always one injury away. And especially at that position, it doesn't have to be a devastating injury, right? If he gets landed on awkwardly, if he gets a shoulder tweaked, if he gets a hand that gets messed up, that's the thing that would scare me the most about Baltimore, is just he takes so many hits, and you don't need a debilitating one that puts you out of the game. There's just one that could slow him down. That's the thing that would scare me most about Baltimore. And there have been teams that have done a decent job of holding them down.
Have they?
Yeah. I mean, they.
I'm looking here. Dude, they haven't scored under 24 points. San Francisco held them to 20.
Yeah. Didn't the Bills hold them to 20 something?
The final of that was 24-17.
Okay.
So they haven't scored under 24 points. They've scored under, put it this way, they've scored under 24 points three times all year. One was 23 when they beat Arizona, 23 when they beat Cincinnati, and 20 with the Niners.
Well, again, if you hold them in the, I think you hold them in the 20s, I think you're happy. If you told, if you told Tennessee right now,
24,
I'll even go 20, 27, 28. I think Tennessee may take that and just hope that you're.
But then do you think Tennessee, like if you say they're going to be pretty good against Baltimore and hold them to 21 to 24 points,
I don't think they're going
to score. Can Tennessee score enough? I think they can cover, but can they score enough?
No, probably not.
I mean, Henry's
not
a stud, but Baltimore's rush defense is fifth in the NFL.
Yep. Although Henry right now is on it doesn't matter.
Like, nobody can tackle.
New England's was sixth.
Yeah. So
and he torched them.
Destroyed them.
If you're Tennessee, your hope is to simply play keep away. You run the ball with Derrick Henry.
Milk that clock.
You shorten this game as much as humanly possible. Limit the number of possessions. Hope that there's some turnovers. Hope you get a couple stops and that you just drag them into the fourth quarter and you play a one possession game. By the way, this may be the quickest game in NFL history.
Right, because they both just run.
They're just going to run. This thing may be over in an hour 45.
So another one, somebody text 55305. Could being so hot and then sitting for 2 weeks play a factor? I think it does.
Sure, but at the same time,
but they'll warm up.
Baltimore will take the rest, and they're getting healthy. Although I just said, you know, Ingram's calf could be a bit of a problem.
But I feel like every year we talk about this, the hot team that's been playing and maybe a little bit more banged up versus the team that's rested.
Yeah.
Do you have the stats on that? Because I haven't seen stats on that, but I always feel like every year there a debate comes because one of these home teams stumbles. team stumbles, and then we're like, whoa, see, it's just, you kill your momentum.
But also every year you get a team that ekes by in the wild card, and then they go and play one of the big boys. They just get slaughtered.
Yeah, but you know what? Tennessee, man, just to push back, Tennessee's offense since they put Tannehill in has been one of the best in the league.
It has.
And their defense is playing great. So they're not a fraud.
No.
But then again, they only scored 14 points on offense in New England.
Yeah. And I just don't think there is enough firepower. I don't think they can hold Baltimore to in the teens. And I just don't think there's enough offensive firepower there for Tennessee to pull this off. I think Tennessee is good. Since, like I said, Tannehill, as you mentioned, since Tannehill's come in, they've been really good in the red zone. They've been efficient. Derrick Henry has been a beast. He's the leading rusher in the NFL. I just think that every year there's a couple different teams that are just juggernauts, right? That's just a different level, and Baltimore's certainly one of those teams.
All right, coming up next, Joey Harrington in studio. Among the questions we'll ask him, why does it seem, pertaining to the college football playoff final, that the great defenses always beat the great offenses, and the numbers show that? And then what does he think of these four NFL games? Which one will be on high alert for a thriller? That's coming up next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Fridays at 5:30 means Joey Harrington in studio. Jay Joseph Harrington with two new things that we must discuss before we talk sports today.
Number one,
your scarves. Don't you have multiple scarves on?
No, it's just one.
Oh.
It's reversible.
Oh, okay. Because it gives the appearance of, I too thought you were multiple scarves.
Well, but the scarf has everything to do with number two, which I'm sure you're going to bring up.
Oh.
Well, I'm intrigued by this now.
Yes, I will bring that up. That pertains to your hand.
Right.
You have come in cast. Soft cast. Or what is that called? I don't know what that's called.
I think it's technically splint and bandage right now.
Yeah.
Big wrap.
I got a big old thing.
On your left hand.
Yeah, so apparently I had a fractured wrist and a torn ligament that I didn't know about for 10, 12 years.
Solid. Yeah.
And then this summer, the way they kind of explained it to me is this ligament was holding these bones together, and then just for whatever reason this summer, they started falling out of place, and then there was pain, and then I was like, oh, hey, look, there's an old fracture and a torn ligament that, since it was like over a decade ago, we can't repair it, so we have to reconstruct.
So you have no idea it was done during football?
I guess.
But that's on your left, so
yeah.
So that's called wear and or tear.
It's funny because I would wake up after games and my right arm wouldn't be sore, but I would roll over in bed and it would take me a couple minutes to straighten out my left arm, and it would be because I'd throw and then get hit and land on my left side.
Ah.
And so I'm assuming that that's what it was from, but I don't know.
Well, think about how many times you went down, it goes for anything, just repetitive motion, right? You're sitting at your keyboard for 10 years and you're typing, you mess up your wrist. But think about how many times over the course of your life that you have braced yourself going down with that left wrist and left arm, whether it's scrambling, getting hit, whatever, especially when you're throwing with your right, it's probably instinctually that you just reach out with that left hand to brace yourself as you're going down.
Very true. But I would think that at some point in the last, let's say decade, that I would have known that I don't have a ligament and I've got a fracture in there that, that's the part that kind of blew me away. They're like, yeah, so you've got an old ligament tear. I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I didn't do anything. Yeah, they're like, it's probably from years and years ago.
But did it hurt consistently over
the
years?
No, it never hurt.
Oh, see, that's the part that I scratch my head out. I got all kinds of stuff that I know eventually when I go get it looked at, they're going to be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's weird that you didn't know.
I had no idea.
That it
no
hurt.
Clue.
I just thought like that was a naggy thing that hurt for 10 years.
No, so it's welcome to July. It's like your wrist hurts. I was like, oh, okay. What's that?
Why did you need to do something about it?
I couldn't function day to day.
Yeah,
it got to the point where
but you had issues.
Until it started hurting in July. And then July, August, September, October just kept worse and worse and worse. And to the point where I couldn't pick up a frying pan, you know, like just the day-to-day things to function, you know, let alone go play catch. You know, I'm coaching basketball right now, and, you know, fifth grader throws me a chest pass and I wince, you know, because I can't take the heat.
Yeah. At least it's lefty.
That's true.
You know, so you got the, you know, dominant, you're okay.
I'm good. I'm good. Right, yeah.
And you get a big load of pain pills.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
We can talk about greatness or not greatness at another point. But let's go back to the number one. So the issue I've found is that there are only so many things that can fit over the top of this splint cast thingy, sure. Right? And so it's not like I can load up on like sweatshirt or, you know, your sweater. Like they get stuck. And so I was like, okay, I can get this shirt over it. And then I got a jacket, but it's supposed to like snow. I was like, okay, I'll just grab a scarf on the way out the door.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Two causing one.
Exactly.
So do you have to have somebody help you get dressed?
I didn't this morning.
Because Sue will volunteer.
Well, I figured it would be you the way that we, you know.
Well, you guys live closer too. I got a bridge involved and,
yeah.
All right, you know, it's a Washingtonian name.
Yeah,
you know, stick together.
No, I didn't. It did take a shower this morning, which is kind of a big deal.
Do you have to put on like the bag or whatever?
Yeah. But I unroll, you know, unpacked this thing and I was like, okay, well, how's this work? I'm assuming there's some tie. No. It's like this stretchy plastic thing that snaps back over, but I couldn't get it over the top because my thumb is kind of like braced out.
Yeah.
So it's not like I've got this clean, at the edge. So I'm working with one hand trying to get it over. Yeah. It took forever.
You're now seeing why I loathe surgery and rehab and why I refuse. People all the time like, hey, you're limping. Yeah. Why don't you get that fixed? Because of that right there. I just, you deal with the limp and the pain because surgery and the rehab and all that goes involved in it, that is terrible.
How long are you on the shelf?
Before
you start throwing a football again.
Before I start throwing lefty, well, never, but I've been told that I'm 2 to 3 months in a hard cast, and then I should be swinging a golf club, like, functional in 6 months, and then I should be back to where I was in about a year.
That's a long time, my man.
Yeah, it's...
Well, you're not missing anything right now with the weather.
I'm not.
I'm thinking of golf, that's all
I'm
doing.
Yeah, and that's all. I was like, okay, wait, let's think about this. If I'm going to play golf in June, I need to have the surgery now.
Yeah, the Bandon battle.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's in June, yeah.
That's in June.
You should be good to go for that?
That's the hope.
Okay.
That's the hope.
All right, this is Joey Harrington every Friday, 5:30. We're going to get to the NFL playoffs, but let's start in college. I want to get your thoughts. So... a lot of the schools in the Pac-12 North needed offensive coordinators. Oregon yet to hire theirs.
Yep.
Washington just hired their guy today, the Donovan guy from the Jags, kind of off the radar. But I thought that you did. Was Bill Musgrave? So the OC at Cal is now Bill Musgrave. Was he your guy
in Atlanta? Oh, Bill. Bill Musgrave is. I'm trying to think about it.
Now, be careful.
No. I love the guy. So, funny Bill Musgrave story. He was my quarterback coach in Atlanta. And the way things went down when I was released there, it wasn't, you know, the most straightforward, you know, looky in the eye kind of thing. It was kind of a, you know, another one of those story time with Joey things. But so, it's 10:30 that night, and I get a text from Musgrave. He said, are you home? I was like, well, I just got released. Where the hell do you think I am? Yeah. And not 7 seconds later, I hear, dun, 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 dun.
The call's coming from inside the house.
At the front door. I was like, who's at the door? And he sent me another text. It's me. I was like, thanks, Bill. Okay. So I go open the door and he's standing there with this giant 4 foot by 6 foot picture. Of, you know, they'd taken photographs of the season and put them around the training facility, and there was one of me outside the quarterback room. And apparently he got so mad that he ripped it off the wall when I got released, and then he drove over to my house and he gave it to me. He says, here. And then he just turned around and walked away.
Oh my God.
I was like, Bill, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. I just got to go. And he got back in the car and he left.
That's a great story.
That's hilarious.
That's a great story.
Does that go back to the whole thing you were telling? Now, you didn't tell us on the air, you told us off the air, but does it go back to the whole Petrino and Petrino brother thing?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Can we talk about that? Should we do that now?
Sure. I mean, how much time do you have? I mean, which tangent do you want to go down? Yeah. Do you want to go down the Bill Musgrave as the creative, quirky genius? Do you want to go down the Bobby Petrino as the rotten, dirty skunk? Where do you want to go?
Oh my God!
It's like a Hardy Boys choose your own adventure. You know,
Wilcox and Bill Musgrave, turn to page 53. If you want to go down the slime of the NFL, turn to page 87.
Well, let's talk about Musgrave when we come back, and then
later on we can circle back,
and then LSU Clemson, and then NFL playoffs, and that's probably all we have time.
And then
Joey will be here for the rest of the show.
All right, Joey Harrington in studio. More next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. We've got a lot to squeeze in.
I'm not squeezing anything right
as
now.
We listen. No. That's what I hear. Bill Musgrave, OC at Cal. You worked with him in Atlanta. Good hire?
Love him. Great guy. He's one of those guys that just gets football. He's and he'll admit this. He's a little quirky. Like he's a little bit out there, a little bit you kind of wonder where he's coming from sometimes, but he's in his head. He's one of those cerebral guys that just understands football. And I love it.
Some of those make the best coordinators because you can't really be like that and be a head coach at times. But
exactly.
You can be in the room and be single-minded.
Is it like the Mike Martz kind of thing? Like too smart for his own good, maybe better behind the scenes type guy?
Or
maybe not.
Martz was an ass. I was just saying
Martz had an ego.
Mike Leach type of thing?
Potentially, but Leach had like this presence. There was a charisma about Leach that I think Musgrave is a fantastic coordinator. I think that's a great place for him. And I agree with you. Some guys are just incredible coordinators, and I don't think that, you know, they will necessarily make the best head coaches.
It's hard to see big picture sometimes. There are people that are meant to just sit in a room, come up with an offense, develop passing trees, concepts. Mm-hmm. And when you're a head coach, you've got 1,000 things to do. And if you can't compartmentalize, you know, it's why a lot of head coaches don't run an offense or don't run a defense. There's just so much involved in it. And it takes it takes different types.
Yeah.
So how was Petrino let go? Tell the story of how that all ended.
We're jumping.
Well, he wasn't let go, but he left.
Yeah. So I was with Musgrave in Atlanta it was the 2007-2008 season.
Right after Vic, right?
Yes, because how it started was Bill Musgrave called me. I was hiking down Black Butte in the summer. I was backing up Michael Vick, thinking I'd just kind of take a deep breath and get, you know, my career back in order, and my phone rings. I had actually turned my ankle on a rock on the way back down, nothing big, but Musgrave calls. He says, "You ready to go?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'll be fine in a couple of weeks." He said, "No, turn on, you know, ESPN. Are you ready to go?" And Mike Vick was being taken away in handcuffs. Yeah. So that's how Bill and I kind of started together in the NFL. And so we went through the majority of the season with Bobby Petrino, who was a piece of work. I mean,
he's a bad guy, to say it.
But I don't think at his core he was a bad guy. I think that he was one of those guys that got so caught up in everything, became a borderline narcissist, was ill-equipped to deal with anybody who had a opinion that was contrary to his.
AKA grown men in the NFL.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so what happened is he came in. There was this story that he was going back to college. I think the LSU job had opened up or something, you know. And so there were all sorts of rumors. And Arthur Blank, we were playing on Monday night that week. And Arthur Blank met with Petrino all weekend. I mean, they were, you know, and we know this because they came in and told us, the GM and Arthur, the owner, came in and told us about afterwards. And so he sat down with Petrino, and Petrino hashed out all the things that he needed changed. Like, this person can't challenge me, and this person needs to be gone, and this needs to happen, and this. And Arthur Blank said, "Okay, give me some time. Let me think about it." And Arthur came back that Sunday before our Monday night game and said, "I'm going to give you everything you want." you need, but I have a spot on Monday Night Football, a live spot, because the whole country is asking, but I need you to tell me, what do I say to the country? And he looked Arthur Blank in the eye and said, Arthur, you tell the country that you have a head coach in me. And we went out that Monday and we got our clock cleaned. I mean, just destroyed. He comes in to the locker room afterwards and he says, every single one of you needs to go home, look at yourself in the mirror, and decide what you can do to help this organization get better. He turned around, walked out the door, and the next morning there was a note written by his secretary sitting on all of our lockers. And that evening he was doing pig suey in Arkansas as he just up and left, and we never saw him again. So what did happen, though, is prior to us never seeing him again, is he came back in to tell the GM that he was quitting. Well, all of the coaching staff had been there all day game planning, because it was a short week. We'd played Monday. They're there Tuesday. We got to get ready for Wednesday practice. None of them knew where he was. Even his brother, Paul Petrino, who was the wide receiver coach. Well, so they're working all day. Bobby comes in at like 4 or 5 o'clock, right before he hops on the jet to go to Arkansas, comes in, tells the GM he's quitting, starts walking out the door. The GM comes and grabs him by the back of the neck. He said, I don't care what you summon to hold this, you know, for a radio edit. I don't care what you say to me, but you've got an entire room of coaches who've been busting their butt down there for you all day. You need to go just, you know, talk with them. So he walks down the room, says three things. One, thank you for all your hard work. Two, I wish things were different. Three, I'm going to Arkansas. Turned around, got on the jet. We never saw him again.
Oh,
holy
my
crap.
And what did the coach? So this then leads back to bring it full circle. Bill Musgrave ripping the
photo off the wall, there was all sorts of changes, and you know, I ended up getting, you know, restructuring my contract to stay, only to get released, and I mean, it was just a mess. And so that's how Bill,
you
totally took it's your fault. We went on this tangent.
Yeah, no, but I liked it.
That's a great story. That is one of the more cowardly things that I think you could ever do. And this is the point. Like, you can go through life. And people make tough decisions, right? Yep. I never hold anyone ill will for making a decision, right? You can't do it based on what other people want. You do what's best for you. But God, the way people conduct themselves and the way they go about it.
Stand up and own it.
It's just, to me, I don't know how you sleep at night when you do stuff like that. I don't know how you look in the mirror and, you know, but obviously there are just people that they don't care. And that's why I say, to me, that's a bad guy. You know, maybe not at the core, but anyone that's capable of doing that stuff, I don't know. I question.
That's fair.
I question what's in your heart.
Fair.
Joey Harrington in studio. Okay, LSU Clemson. You've been all over LSU all year.
I have. I love those guys. I love Ed Orgeron.
You think they beat Clemson?
I have to stick with it. And I wouldn't change. I say it not as a jumping on the bandwagon thing. I say it because that's been my pick all year. They have finally flipped the LSU script. Like, they've just been a boring offense, dominant defensive team, and Ed Orgeron has had the insight to say, hey, look, I'm going to bring in somebody outside the box, and look what he's done. And I find it ironic that he wasn't good enough to be USC's head coach, but now he's taken LSU to a national championship.
Right. Yeah, they screwed that up, but that's like a long list of screw-ups.
Exactly.
So it's always, I saw the stat today, we were talking about it earlier, that number one defenses or top five defenses always beat top five or number one offenses. I think the most shining example was Florida's
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Florida's Tim Tebow team that held Oklahoma, the number one scoring offense, Sam Bradford in the country, maybe even a record.
I think they were putting up like 58, 59.
They held
them
to 14.
Ridiculous.
So this game is number one offense versus number one defense. Number one defense being Clemson.
Clemson.
Why do you think it is that the defense always seems to come? They're 5-0 in those top five matchups. Why do you think that the defense always comes out on top?
Boy, I would like to see when those were. Because I'm going to guess that maybe there's like a Danny Werfel or there's a Chris Wenke type of... See when those other games were. Because there's been a history of... Or I should say there's been a change in history, right? It always used to be that the Heisman winner came out and pooped the bed in his bowl game, right? That's just how it always happened. And you can go from Gino Toretta to Chris Wenke to, you know, whoever it was. But in recent years, that trend has changed a little bit. So I would guess, and I could be wrong, that is taking into consideration some games that happened many years ago.
Here they are. 2002, Ohio State, Miami. The scoring off the top five scoring offense was Miami.
Was Miami.
And Ohio State had the number two defense. 2003 was number one LSU scoring defense, held number three Oklahoma scoring offense, 21-14.
That was Saban.
2008 was the Tebow game. 2009 was number two scoring defense. Alabama held number three scoring offense. Texas down to 21. The final score of that game was 37-21.
Well, there was a big injury in that.
That was Cole McCoy.
Right.
That
he got hurt.
I'm not buying.
There's one more.
Okay.
And it was last year. Clemson hammered Alabama. Clemson was the number one scoring defense again. And number three scoring offense was Alabama, the final 44-16. 5-0 defense. So you just think that's an antiquated trend.
My theory on that does not necessarily hold true. However, I'm still not balling. I'm not bagging what you're mowing. I'm gonna just marinate.
I like that
on
analogy,
that,
by the way. I'm gonna steal that one.
But are you smelling what I'm stepping in?
I am. But I would caution you to wipe it off your foot before you came inside. Look. Here's what I'll say for this year. Give me a top ranked offense that Clemson has played against, other than last week.
That was probably the only one.
Right. Give me somebody that they've played, and now that's not to say that they're not capable of doing it, but.
And I do think it took a little bit of time to adjust to Ohio State. I think Ohio State jumped out to Clemson. I think that was a bit of a shock to their system, and then there was an adjustment, right? They scored 16 unanswered, and then they
and it should have been more.
They should have been more.
It should have been a 3-4 touchdown lead there pretty early. I don't know. I just don't see anybody stopping LSU this year, even a team as good as Clemson.
Which of the four NFL games is going to be Joey Harrington full thriller alert?
Full thriller alert. You know, I hate to say this.
Say it.
You know where I'm going. My least favorite team in the NFL. The Seahawks.
Seahawks?
I think the Seahawks beat the Packers.
Really?
I do. I have spent the last decade, not that I disliked Russell Wilson, because I always liked him, but I have not bought the argument that he is an elite level, you know, top three, top four quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Oh, no. He was never Brady, Breeze, Manning, you know, he was just in that next group for me.
Sure.
This year, and last year, but this year especially, there's nobody better. And if you're going to credit Seattle's success to anyone or anything, it is Russell Wilson.
No question.
And there's just something about the way he's been playing that makes me think that they're going to go into Lambeau and they're going to pull a shocker.
It's going to be good. Fun stat. Green Bay NFL record. 8 games won decided by one score or less. Seattle NFL record, 11 total games decided by one score or less.
Wow.
This will be...
So it'll be 35-0.
this will be a close game. You have the historically most wins from a team in close games, and historically the most games played, won or lost, by a team, and they're playing each other.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that you mentioned Russell Wilson. I'm totally with you. I've always thought he was elite, but this year it's like, you're right, you can't argue. He's unbelievable.
See, I'd always put him in like the 7, 8, 9 kind of range.
I think
over the last
five,
you know, 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
My tune has changed differently, you know, this year.
But you look at some of the quarterbacks left, you're talking about what Lamar Jackson is doing. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Mahomes. You're talking about Rodgers still there. And the best one of all of them, you could argue, is
absolutely
dangerous.
I don't disagree with you this year. And I think it's interesting to see that Brady is gone. And Breeze is gone, mm-hmm. and Rivers and Manning didn't make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and Roethlisberger's out. I mean, this could be a changing of the tide.
Well,
I mean,
it's the future of the NFL when you look at it, because the three best quarterbacks right now in the NFL, and you can debate whatever order you want, but it's Russell Wilson, it's Pat Mahomes, and it's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
They're 1, 2, 3 in the MVP, and then you throw Deshaun Watson in, and I think Deshaun Watson, you know, is as good as anyone. So when you look at those four and then you talk about, you know, who knows what happens with Roethlisberger, right? Brady and Manning, certainly on the back half of their careers. Brady and Breeze. Philip Rivers, you know, may be done. You are seeing a new dynamic level of quarterback, and you look at what Kyler Murray's doing.
Mm-hmm.
This... This is the NFL.
This is the future. This is it.
This is the future. We've been waiting all these years for the missing link and the running quarterback and all that. And, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson's that guy. But this style of play and this level of athlete and what you're seeing early on from these guys, this is the future of the NFL, and it's damn entertaining.
You should have run more. What's the matter with you? When you played.
Oh, when I played?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would require some sort of like basic foundational level of speed and athleticism.
Are you faster than Tom Brady?
Does 100 pounds of dough make a big old cookie?
What was the 40 at the combine?
4.87.
That's not bad.
4.87.
That's fast.
You trying to say the UAE speed? That's good.
I was blazing.
There's nothing wrong with a 4.87.
They wasted your wheels, man.
They did.
You'd be a Hall of Famer.
They did. No. Let's not go that far.
Why did you say the Seahawks are your least favorite team?
Because I'm so tired of everybody in Portland just jumping on the Seahawks bandwagon just they are just, it's their closest.
Thank you. You are getting a raving applause from millions of Portlanders right now.
It is. No. We don't root for we never rooted for the Seattle Supersonics. Like,
yes.
No, we don't. The Mariners are not my baseball team. No.
Preach.
No.
Rob hates the 12s.
God, the 12s are so obnoxious.
Well, the 12s themselves are just.
Look at Mike. He's giving you a standing O.
They're just copycats from Texas A&M anyway. I mean, it's they're not even original enough to call themselves something original.
You have never been so right. You've never been so right about anything, and I love that. See you next week.
Absolutely.
We got Super Bowl preview. Well, no, wait.
You got the title game previews.
Well, that's what I meant.
We got all sorts of previews. We got more stories.
Yeah, I want more Petrino stories.
Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to.
That was great.
We need to have an entire show dedicated to this.
Okay. I want to ask because I read a book. I want to ask.
Wait, what? You read a book?
I read.
First time for everything.
I read from time to time. I want to hear about Saban in Miami and like Zach Thomas, and I've heard. There's just some stories about maybe some guys not buying into what Nick Saban was laying down and some of the confidence. I want to hear those stories.
A wry smile from Joseph.
There's one in particular that I have to ask about that I want to know whether or not it's real involving Zach and Nick Saban.
Fair enough. Okay.
Well, hold on to that for next week. Thank you, Joey. We'll see you next week, and I hope your wrist gets better. And
yeah, I should have a full cast by next week. Yeah. It could be kind of cool.
And your scarf game remains on point.
Rop will sign it for you.
Well, I hope I don't have to have the scarf game anymore. I can get something to fit over a cast.
All right, the club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.